Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam, Cody.
Doing fine, John. It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere. Welcome back to the show. Nice to have you back.
Yeah, sorry I had to bail yesterday, but I feel a lot better today, or at least I feel like I sound a lot better.
What did you, what was your remedy?
I just, a lot of cough drops, some emergency. I literally said maybe 30 words the rest of the day. After I left yesterday, I had a short phone call with my father, spoke a little bit to my girlfriend. Otherwise, I yelled a couple times during the Hawks game. They had an exciting game.
Probably wasn't good.
Yeah, I had to call for my dog a couple times outside. Frank! Frank, come on! Frank!
You had to really strain to get his
yeah,
attention.
Yeah,
cause
yeah.
Because you can't just go, Frank.
Yeah, I had to like walk Frank. Out a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it holds up over 3 hours. But, you know, yesterday I couldn't even get the first line out. So I feel better than I did yesterday. So appreciate you guys for holding it down. What did you guys talk about after I left?
Just a bunch of random stuff.
Yeah, I felt bad that I kind of left you out to dry there.
I mean, I don't know. We talked about quarterbacks for about an hour. The future of the quarterback in the NFL.
In the NFL, okay.
Spent about an hour on quarterbacks.
What did you guys determine?
Well, we were talking about who we thought might retire first between the big five, Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, and Rivers.
Okay.
And we were just kind of working through that. Okay. It gave us some content.
Yeah.
And then the last hour was kind of random. We had an earthquake.
Yeah, so, I felt that at the house. So that was during the show?
Yeah. So that that gave us a segment there. That broke live on the air.
I assume you guys knew it was a earthquake.
I didn't feel it. I wasn't paying attention. I was talking about Aaron Rodgers or something, but Cam and Tucker both said
so
they
felt it. So you felt it, Cam, immediately? What did it feel like over there? Stuff start rattling?
Yeah, I didn't really know what was going on. It was only like 5-10 seconds, yeah. Something like that. And it sounded like I was like, oh, did the big truck drive by or something?
Because okay. I was at the house, and to me it sounded like my garage was opening. And I was like, no one's here. I was like, maybe the air conditioner or something was rumbling. And then I was like, didn't think nothing about it. My dog didn't bark or anything. His dumb ass was just sitting there like nothing's wrong. And then I looked on social media, and then, of course, there's 50 different posts about earthquakes. So then I put two and two together and realized I, too, had experienced the earthquake.
Yeah. I just wish we could get a cool one, you know, like a bigger one that we could really feel.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying yesterday. Just, you know, I don't want anybody to get hurt or anything, but just really like a kind of more of a challenge, you know, instead of just, because if you barely feel it, like, oh, was that a, like you guys said, was that a truck that drove by? Was that the air conditioner? Like, I want an earthquake that you know is an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was cool.
What?
The earthquake.
It was all right.
I thought it was good enough for Tennessee. I don't actually want to feel like the ground move or anything.
You don't think that'd be kind of cool, though? Like, if you're in a field.
I wouldn't mind if I was, like, in a field, okay, maybe, yeah. Just
whoa.
Like, although I'd be worried that the field was going to collapse, you know, like a sinkhole. I'd be terrified like a sinkhole was getting ready to happen if I was in a field.
I'm guaranteeing
how do sinkholes happen, Cam? You know?
Yeah, it's just like displacement earth of sinks. The earth, so yeah. It just
but it's like, is it built off of any, it's not built off of any, like,
the
tectonic
soil.
Plates or anything, right? It's just like, it just.
It has to do with the soil.
Yeah, I know, like, it just collapses, but I didn't know if, like, there was a reason why it happened or I guess if there was, like, a rumble before it happened or anything. I've never, like, actually seen a sinkhole form. I've just seen the aftermath, I guess.
Would a sinkhole hurt you, or would you just then be at the bottom of that sinkhole?
If you're by yourself, you probably won't be able to get back up.
Well, yeah, yeah. So the sinkholes are basically water like erodes the stuff like under the surface.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a caverns under there. So like an earthquake could like, you know, break the surface and you'd fall in. Because, yeah, it's basically like there's basically like an empty cavern underneath the ground.
Aren't there cities that are built on sinkholes? Like that people don't know about? That like probably. Couldn't a city just collapse? Is that what happened to Atlantis?
I think they got like washed away.
Do you guys ever wonder, tell me if this is a stupid thought, because it could be. A city like New York, Manhattan, right? Okay. All that weight, all those structures, all those massive buildings are on that one little piece of land. And I know like land holds up, like, you know, I'm not saying like, it just, I don't know. Does it not kind of seem to you like all those buildings would weigh down that down? Small?
Like, I don't think that's a stupid thought. It's a lot of weight.
It's a ton of weight. Well, more than a ton. It's millions of tons of weight. Those skyscrapers, all those cars, everything. It's just that one little peninsula right there.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, I feel like it's a lot of weight. On the other hand, I feel like the ground is pretty sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I don't know. I just wonder if one day, like, New York City is just going to fall into the, just collapse, you know?
Okay.
So, anyway.
What do you think is the biggest sports story right now? I guess, like I warned you, we're getting ready to hit that weird time where there's still football sort of kind of going on, but not enough to carry us. And then the next thing you know it, boom, it's over.
Well, I started to feel it a little bit yesterday in our last hour. Uh-huh. It was just, we had a lot of news, but it was real random.
Yeah.
And I was like, not a good big story. And and then the show before us there, the Blitz guys, they spent a whole segment on farts earlier. So I'm starting to think like we're hitting that.
So between that and their Bachelor segment, I can't imagine we had a lot of leftover listeners.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, a lot of people are talking about The Bachelor right now, I guess.
Okay.
But, you know, it's not really my thing. It's not really your thing.
And like
right?
I said, on overrated, underrated, like I love bad reality TV. It's not my thing either.
Yeah. So, well, you know, there's a few things going on right now. I mean,
like what? Because I don't know what the biggest story is. Like, I feel like I enjoyed yesterday's MLK Day NBA all day fest. Like, the NBA's Martin Luther King Day slate is always much, much better than the Christmas slate.
You know, sadly, I think speaking of the NBA, I think the number one thing on my mind is probably that Delonte West video.
Yeah.
That surfaced.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest impression that sports made on me yesterday, too. Like the game, sure, the games will matter. And, like, you know, Michael Porter Jr., he looks like he's arrived for Denver. And, you know, it makes me think that maybe Denver's ceiling's a little bit higher than I thought it would be in terms of Denver having a chance to win the West, because Michael Porter Jr. looks really, really good. And they needed a long athletic wing who could look really good. And if he's in your crunch time five in the playoffs, I think that's a game changer for Denver. I think that's a huge deal. And Porter Jr. looks good. And, you know, the Celtics beat the hell out of the Lakers. And now the Lakers, I think, are 0-5 against, like, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Celtics, and Raptors.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
So 0-5 against, you know, some of their biggest opponents, I guess. Their potential biggest opponents.
They're 0-5 against them?
Yeah, I guess they're 0-2 against the Clippers and then 0-1 against the three teams in the East right now.
Really?
The Raptors, Bucks, and Celtics last night.
It was Kemba Walker's first victory against LeBron.
Yeah, he was, what, 0-28?
Yeah.
So they won that one for Kemba last night, so that's good.
I thought they had, like, a big win.
They've had some big wins, but, you know, against, like, Denver and Dallas and...
Yeah, I mean, those aren't really... Like, at the top of the...
Like, I'm not worried about the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers are fine. I'm just, like, they've struggled with some of the teams that have some interesting matchups for them. You know, like, obviously with Giannis and Siakam. And last night, Jason Tatum looked like... Jason Tatum last night finally looked like the way everyone's been describing him for 3 years, thinking he looked. He finally kind of showed some flashes of what everyone has been claiming he was last night. So... Now, the Lakers were 2 days and 2 weeks away from the trade deadline, so we'll see how these teams gear up when it comes to getting ready for the stretch run.
We're also a week away from the third game against the Clippers. So
okay, when do they play again?
Next Tuesday.
Clippers or Lakers home game?
Lakers.
Okay. Next Tuesday?
Yeah, on TNT.
10 o'clock tip-off?
10 o'clock, yes.
So a little 30 minutes earlier?
So put that one that'll on the calendar.
Good. Yeah, that'll be good. The Lakers kind of need to win that one.
Yeah. They lost their last home game against the Clippers.
But, you know, right now, it doesn't feel like there's a sure favorite to win the championship in the NBA. So I'm interested to see how that affects the trade deadline and how teams gear up, and this buyout market's going to be fierce. But even though, you know, you had 14 games yesterday, 28 teams in action, the biggest takeaway was seeing Delonte West, you know, out of his mind. Out of his mind, get beat up in the middle of the road, and then somebody put a camera in his face and let it leak to TMZ of him giving an interview to the cops, talking about how he's the president, and just sounding completely out of his mind.
It was rough. That must have been a body cam, right?
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Delonte West had $16 million in earnings before he was 30.
Yeah, I mean, he played, eight years in the league.
To go from that to what you saw in that video, I mean, it's just – that's wild. It's a wild thing to see.
It's a troubling thing to see, and it almost makes me think, like, the NBA is all about this, like, mental health stuff. You know, they're saying they're trying to help people with mental health. Like, you know, Kevin Love came out and spoke against it. DeMar DeRozan came out, you know, talking about his anxiety and issues. And the NBA is like, hey, we got your back. We got you. Feels like they should maybe get somebody in touch with Delonte West and see what they could do for him, because it's a poor reflection on them.
Well, you know, it's sad when you see a guy like Delonte West in that video. But we've all seen that guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. You know? I mean, but I think most people, I think when most people see that guy, they assume that guy's always been like that type of thing.
Yeah.
Or something, never really had anything to throw away, I guess, right? Like, and when then you come on, it's like, no, that guy, you know, that's a guy who made $16 million and should have been set for life.
Yeah.
Now, you know. It also maybe raises some. Shows you, like, hey, most of these homeless guys or people you see on the street, maybe it's not just poor decisions. Maybe it's their mind has given up on them, type of thing. Now, maybe with Delonte West, there were some drugs and stuff too that helped him go down that route. But he's got a mental disorder.
Well, and drugs can lead to that, too.
Sure.
I mean, you do enough acid, you get schizophrenia.
Sure.
And that, people say that that's what he was...
that was his vice?
That may be... Well, no, I don't know that for sure, but it may... Some people in the comments were saying he's been diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought he had been after his motorcycle incident.
Yeah.
Where he got caught with a gun, like in a briefcase or like in a guitar case. He had a gun with him on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
A bottle of Grey Goose.
Yeah, and, you know, you're getting something like that. That's another thing that happens to people. You have something happen, and you're in pain, and people get hooked on the pain pills or whatever. And it just,
yeah.
Things can spiral out of control. You know, it's not always just, oh, that guy's homeless. He doesn't want to get a job.
Yeah. That was, like you said, probably the biggest takeaway from yesterday. We'll see. We had Phil Martelli. You know, his former coach at St. Joe's trying to get in touch with him, say they're going to try to get some help. You had Jameer Nelson, his former teammate, trying to say, hey. Well, he basically – Jameer Nelson just said, hey, we all got to pray for him.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers don't fix what's going on with Delonte West. Now, they might help, but we need some professionals to get in touch with him as well. Which Jameer Nelson said, like, hey, you got to – if you're struggling with something like that, you go talk to people. People that are, you know, have credentials that can maybe help you. I couldn't help but have that depress me last night.
Yeah, I mean, but sometimes it takes like a video like that, you know? I mean, he might have just completely, that video might end, I've seen people that are mad for, you know, the people filming him or for that video being released showing him in that shape, but that might ultimately be what gets him the help.
Yeah, so a lot of people are mad at the video because, like, he has a daughter, I guess, that's a certain age now that could be on the internet, I guess. It's like, hey, it's embarrassing for dad. But, well, like you said, Cody, that raised awareness, and we'll see if anybody can track him down and reach out to him and help him. awkward transition to new stories. We had some, we had what, Lane Kiffin get his first big commitment. Tennessee got some good news, sort of kind of on the recruiting trail. I guess we'll dive into some of that next, maybe, I guess. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Citizens Man.
She said, I don't spend time like I really should. She said she don't know me anymore. I think she.
I got some recruiting news, Cody. Lane Kiffin gets his first commitment of note down at Ole Miss as he gets Demon / Demond Clowney. We had kind of been linked to him maybe on after the early signing period that Tennessee might try to get in mix for the big four-star defensive end. Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin gets him.
Demon Clowney?
Demon / Demond. Demon. I prefer Demon. People said it's Demond.
And that's Jadeveon's younger brother?
Cousin, I believe. Cousin. I don't think it's a brother. I think it's cousin. So he commits to Ole Miss. So that's one more potential name off Tennessee's board as they get set, you know, for the last signing period here. And what, I guess the NBA trade deadline we said was 2 days and 2 weeks away. So I guess early signing period would be 2 weeks and 1 day away. Right, it's usually that first Wednesday of the month, correct? So,
yes.
Tennessee's trying to go out and get one or two more bodies to add to this class, take Demond Clowney off of the list, but maybe add five-star running back Zachary Evans. Zachary Evans was the five-star running back that had originally signed with Georgia. I guess they were going to do one of those deals where they didn't announce it. I don't know. But either way, he has asked to be released from his letter of intent. Georgia obliged. And now he is back on the market. The thought process was that he was going to go to Texas A&M, which I guess he still could do. He is from the Texas area. Houston, I believe, is where he's from. But Tennessee is now trying to get in with him. They've unleashed Moose on him as Brian Niedermeyer, who, you know, didn't really land anybody big this cycle after being National Recruiter of the Year last year, has a chance to salvage and, you know, get a guy, the number one running back in the country, the number 17 player in the country, to get him on board.
That's a guy that that you would like to have. Why is he... What was the deal with the Georgia situation? That, do you know why?
Yeah, he just asked to be released. I don't know if there's been a reason why. I haven't seen a firm reason why he has to be released. I don't know. I think the original thought process was, like I said, he was going to ask to maybe stay closer to home in the Houston area, but it's not like he committed to Texas A&M yet. He is still looking around.
Well, and it seems kind of damning, doesn't it? Like Georgia just to lose a five-star running back that's committed?
Damning on Georgia or damning on the kid?
On Georgia. I mean, because, like, I guess, I don't know, Harrion, he's gone, isn't he? Like, do they have, Swift is gone.
I'm sure they still have other running backs.
I'm sure they do, too, but I think they lost two of their top guys. I would think this guy could come in and play.
So I don't know if I'd call it damning on them just because, like, they did get that Brock Vandergriff guy today, the five-star quarterback. So it's like the wheels are falling off or anything. They're still recruiting at a high level.
Yeah, they are. I just, you know, I kind of wonder why they're losing. They've just lost some pieces that makes you kind of wonder how that program's going down there. Like, are they
I've seen more people try to spin it about this Zach Evans kid that I have about Georgia. I've seen more people blame this kid and say, yeah, he's just kind of got some drama that follows him along, more so than blaming Kirby Smart for this one.
I think he seems like a pretty good pretty good kid if he doesn't want to play for Kirby.
Okay.
I think he's got a good head on his shoulders.
Obviously. We'll see. It's down, but, you know, some schools he's thought to be considering, obviously Texas A&M, like I said, Florida. He spoke about Tennessee and says Tennessee's kind of getting in the mix because he thought Tennessee was just out in the country, he said.
Oh.
He came to Knoxville for an unofficial, an unofficial visit late in January of 2019. So I guess he that was a year ago, but he had said, you know, they weren't really on my radar at that point because I thought Tennessee was in the country.
And he wants to be in a, large metropolitan area like Knoxville?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He said, but he, you know, he spoke about what he thought, you know, Derrick Henry. He shouted out Derrick Henry.
Well, has he been to College Station, Texas?
Yeah, somebody might need to warn him about, like, Texas A&M. Like, that is out, like, kind of out in the country.
I mean, I know it's, like, it's a nice center point between, like, Austin, Dallas, and Houston, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
But still, I mean, it's kind of, it's a good ways from those cities.
So we'll see. This guy gets two more visits to take, and maybe Tennessee could get one of those and get some momentum with him and try to land a five-star running back to go with their new freshly minted five-star quarterback that they, you know, that they, I guess, were rewarded today. You know, they already had Harrison Bailey, obviously, and people had argued for a while about whether or not he should be a five-star and just how good he was. But Rivals has agreed with Tennessee fans and said Harrison Bailey is now their second-rated quarterback, and he is a five-star quarterback. Harrison Bailey gets his fifth star, Cody. Do you care about that?
I saw that earlier, that he had gotten his fifth star from Rivals.
Got his fifth star.
I mean, it doesn't really make any difference, does it? You know, I mean, either way, the expectations on him are going to be really high.
So does it change the five star?
I don't think it changes the expectations. I think the expectations are already very, very high.
I think I would agree with that. Cam, fifth star do anything for you, for Harrison Bailey? Because, like Cody said, a lot of people already thought this guy was special, although maybe the people who didn't think he was special now go, oh, okay, five-star. He's that type of guy.
I may just put a tad more pressure on him, but, yeah, in the grand scheme, it doesn't really do anything for me.
Okay.
There's one other thing, by the way, on this Zachary Evans guy.
It does sound cooler if you're, like, starting a true freshman five-star quarterback versus a true freshman four-star quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
The fifth-star does carry weight around the country, I think, but locally I agree with both of you, like, maybe just a little bit more pressure, but not much. Some more stuff on Zach Evans. What do you got?
He is, according to 247, he's their 34th highest-ranked prospect ever.
Really?
So not only is he a five-star, but he's like a .99999. Like, he's very, very, very high-star. Ahead of guys like Percy Harvin. And you remember that Chantrell Henderson, that big tackle that ended up going to USC? Or he was committed to USC? I don't know if you remember him. He's added guys like Jimmy Clausen, Mark Sanchez.
Some real studs.
Byron Cowart. I'm just saying in the recruiting rankings.
Not sure.
He's up there with, like his name is mentioned with, like, the Ted Ginns of the world.
Okay.
The Bryce Browns.
Yeah, some elite prospects. The Bryce Browns. I mean, Bryce Brown, you can laugh, but Bryce Brown was, he was so good he barely played college football and still made the NFL.
Oh, yeah, no, he was good. He was talented, but yeah.
Julio,
it's just funny
because,
I mean, like, yeah, like, he barely played and still. Okay, Julio,
now
there you go.
Julio, Dexter Lawrence, Jabril Peppers, Miles Garrett. Like, he's up there with some elite prospects.
So that's probably why all these schools are like, okay, yeah, he's worth the trouble.
Cyrus Quanjo.
This would be a nice, you know, coup for Moose and the boys if they could actually get this signed. We'll see if it happens, but you know, Tennessee does have a five-star quarterback and a five-star offensive line heading into next year. Might as well throw a five-star running back in there.
I wonder who the highest-rated prospect is to not make it, because most of these guys you recognize.
Who was that first guy you mentioned, the lineman?
Cyrus Quanjo.
Yeah, who he was good
at Alabama.
He was good, though, right? See in the NFL?
I don't know. You know who the highest-rated prospect ever?
No, I don't.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, okay. That makes probably would have been my guess, yeah. Facts, I had to think about it.
And then Robert Kimdichie.
Really? When do these recruiting rankings start happening?
Two?
They didn't start happening until like 2000 or something, right? Like the Rivals and them haven't been doing this forever.
Yeah. I mean, Vince Young is rated really high, class of 02. Class of 2000, DJ Williams. Brock Berlin.
Who's DJ Williams?
I don't know.
So did he make it?
What position?
I don't know. He committed to Miami. I don't know if he ended up playing at Miami.
You're just asking the highest rated guy to not make it. DJ Williams seems like he
might be that guy.
Mitch Mustain.
I remember Mitch Mustain.
He was a bust, apparently.
He was the guy.
Number nine player in the 06 class.
Yeah, it was Mitch Mustain, Damian Williams, and there was another guy. They were a package deal, and they were supposed to go to Arkansas, and Houston Nutt couldn't land them, and they went to USC. And then maybe they came. Somebody
came
Mustang
back. Was at. Yeah, he transferred to USC after Arkansas.
Yeah,
The good player. The good players went to USC, and then Mitch Mustang went to Arkansas
Malzahn,
for a year.
They played for Malzahn at Springdale. Yeah. And Houston, that's kind of where Malzahn emerged. It was with that really good high school team that had Mustaine and Damian Williams. And there was another guy, too. I think it was a tight end. But, yeah, they went to USC.
Whitney Lewis, USC receiver, was the number one receiver, number two player in the 03 class. Don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of these guys' names.
Yeah, these are
Doriel
like
Green
bust,
Beckham.
Yeah.
I remember him.
I mean, Doriel Green Beckham was really good. I wouldn't call him a bust. He just couldn't stay clean.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that kind of made him a bust, though.
Well, when we're talking bust, you're talking about like in college or the NFL? Because
I just Googled highest like prospects and turned out to bust.
Was Doriel Green Beckham one of them?
Not on this list I'm looking at.
Joe McKnight.
Perilow, the
LSU quarterback, yeah. Right? Perilow, yeah, I remember him.
Like even Joe McKnight, was he a bust? Didn't Joe McKnight get stabbed to death, too? Is he dead now?
Yeah, he's dead.
Okay.
Yep.
R.I.P.
So this probably got to call him a bust. I think if they don't make it, you kind of.
Yeah, but he made the NFL. He played with the Jets.
Yeah, but, you know, he got stabbed, so.
Yeah.
Did that make you a worse prospect?
No, but it does make you a bust.
I mean, did he accomplish what everyone thought? Maybe not, but. I feel like injuries and death kind of trump out the bust label. No, you don't agree?
Yeah, I don't
know. I feel like if you get injured or you die, you don't get labeled as a bust. Like, you get a pass.
What if you die in your first year and you're not playing very well?
I still give you a pass.
So you don't even get so you at least – because you would normally get a second year to redeem yourself.
Yeah, the death trumps it out. You are okay.
So –
you will not be labeled as a bust.
Then in the same regard, you got to think maybe we're awarding the death, you know, which I know you have a problem with that in music. That's why some people say Kurt Cobain is overrated.
There's a difference between calling somebody a bust and then labeling them a legend, though. I don't think we have to go out and say Joe McKnight was a legend or anything.
Like we do with Kurt Cobain.
Right, we don't have to do all that.
I like Cobain, though.
I mean, I'm not the one saying anything about Kurt Cobain. I'm just saying.
He's one of those guys that gets mentioned. Yeah,
he is.
Like, because he died young. Like,
yeah.
Was he really that great?
Yeah.
You know?
Bleacher Janis Joplin number one benefited a lot from that. Fred Rouse, the Florida State receiver.
Bruce yeah,
Janis Joplin.
Never heard of him.
Apparently, big time recruit. He played one season and then transferred to UTEP and ended up flaming out. Didn't even really play there.
Yeah, I can't imagine it went very well for him at UTEP.
Well, we don't have any commitments on this list other than Bryce Brown that are higher than this Zachary Evans guy. So he would be our biggest commitment of all time, according to 247.
Yeah, I would say Bryce Brown was a bust for Tennessee.
Yeah, well, you know, he ended up at Kansas State, didn't he? And then he was at some community college, and then, boom, NFL.
He's on Bleacher Report's list of the top 20
bust. He would have to be in there.
And number 19.
Congrats to us. We made the list, guys.
We made it twice.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Over.
It is crazy to me, but I think it's pretty accurate. I think we all kind of accept it. That fifth star does bring about different pressure. And in the grand scheme of things, how different is it? How different is it really? Like Harrison Bailey was a four-star yesterday. He wakes up now, he is a five-star quarterback. Whether or not it actually matters, it does create more pressure. There aren't any four stars on that list, right, in terms of biggest bust?
Nope, yeah.
It might create more pressure on him in the long term, but, I mean, for us right now, I think it's going to be about the same. I don't think there are going to be more people today that see the five-star and think he should be able to come in here and play immediately. They're already thinking that. I mean, I don't think one star is going to make the difference in that. I think he's already got a ton of pressure on him.
I think whenever people hear it next year and hear it in the spring and hear it when it comes to, you know, fall practice and the whole five-star quarterback thing gets beat in your head, because I do think it's going to become a part of his name now. Five-star incoming freshman Harrison Bailey, five-star quarterback Harrison Bailey. It becomes a little different. People hear fifth stars and think superstar, granted or not.
Maybe guys like Trevor Lawrence and Tua kind of maybe they were just special kind of quarterbacks and had a lot of talent around them, and now maybe they're going to ruin it for the other guys that are five stars.
Right. Cam, I guess it's going to be a kind of a tough exercise, but maybe go to like Rivals or 247 or one of those and maybe get a list of kind of the last couple of years of five-star quarterbacks. Because I don't imagine many of them sit on the bench unless they are behind superstars. Right? I mean, like how many – like Bo Nix, five-star quarterback, he got to start, and I don't even think he was very good.
Well, I mean
– but how many get to go – how many five-star quarterbacks don't start as freshmen?
I don't know. And see, that's what makes our situation so unique, because we've got a senior starter returning. And obviously Garantano is not nearly as talented as people expect this Harrison Bailey guy to be, but just you look at the difference in experience, though, and I think it's just it's vast.
Yeah, but the experience is one thing, but the perceived talent is a different thing.
Perceived talent is good, but true freshman versus a guy that's been around, I mean, what now? He's going into his just fourth year or fifth year?
Fifth year. This will be his fifth
year. Yeah, he's a redshirt. So, I mean, it's just
I mean, I guess last year you had what, Spencer Rattler sit? Spencer Rattler sat. He was a five-star number one quarterback in the country. He didn't play at Oklahoma.
But he's behind
Jalen
Hurts.
Last year, 247 only had two five-star quarterbacks.
247 did?
Yeah, and it was Rattler and Bo Nix.
Okay.
Only two five-stars.
Okay, so yeah, Bo Nix played as a freshman. Spencer Rattler set on a playoff contending team behind Jalen Hurts, a guy who, you know, would you call him a special college quarterback?
Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You would, I mean, like, yeah. I don't think that's unfair to say.
No, I think he's one of the best in the last, you know, I don't know, five years, 10 years. He ranks highly.
2018, you had Trevor Lawrence,
yep,
who started the year kind of on the bench but was getting reps from day one, right? Like, him and Kelly Bryant were splitting reps at the beginning. Justin Fields, though, however, sat a entire year.
And then left.
And then left.
Because he was sitting.
There's also JT Daniels at USC. I can't remember if he played or not.
He got hurt. Okay. I think he was one of their guys that got hurt. I think he was playing.
Then they
I know he got reps. I don't know if he was a starter or the backup, but they had their first two guys go down.
I thought that Slovis guy beat him out or beat somebody out.
I thought Slovis was the third string guy that came in and they caught kind of lightning in a bottle with him.
It might, maybe so.
I thought that's how that went.
I don't remember. You're probably right.
I thought they had three guys go down. So far we've got like maybe Slovis, I guess, who had to sit on the bench, and then Spencer Rattler behind Jalen Hurts, and Trevor Lawrence came in on a playoff team and sat for a little bit, but was getting reps pretty much immediately. And spent, you know, was it, who was the other one? Is that it?
Well, Tua was
2017.
But yeah, I mean,
Tua was not a true freshman, right?
No, he was. He was, and he sat a full year.
So Tua and Trevor Lawrence were both true freshmen when they started balling out.
No, well, yes, but I mean those were different years. Tua was the year before.
Yeah, okay. I know that, but okay. They both did, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking earlier. They might kind of ruin it for these other guys now. Like if we're, you know, people are just going to point to them. Like if we start Garantano and he's playing bad in week two, people are going to look at it and say, "Hey, you got a five star. Look what Bama did with Tua. Look what Clemson did with Trevor Lawrence. You can't just leave him on the bench."
JT Daniels started against Fresno State.
Okay.
Rob, he played against Fresno State. He threw 34 passes. I don't know who got the first reps, I guess.
Sounds like he played most of the game at quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if somebody got hurt before. Let me check. USC. Yeah, JT Daniels started the first series. So that was a five-star, right? So he came in as a five-star freshman that was going to start.
So,
then at some point he got hurt at the end of the game, but he played.
Yeah, 19 was Rattler and Nix. 18 was Lawrence Fields Daniels. 17 was Davis Mills at Stanford, who I haven't heard of. I don't think he's played.
Never heard of her.
Davis Mills?
Yeah.
Davis.
He was the number one quarterback in 2017 and ranked above Tua. And he went to Stanford and
He did not play his first year. He played and he threw two passes and wasn't a starter there. And he was a five-star at Stanford. Yeah. I guess he'd have been behind who? Like, would he have been behind Costello at that point?
It would have been, in 2017, I think. Well,
his first year would have been 2018, so.
Yeah, I guess KJ Costello, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, not behind a stud by any means. And okay, so maybe there's one.
Yeah, I mean, 16 was Shea Patterson and Jacob Eason.
Okay. Eason started as a true freshman and Shea Patterson as well, correct?
Yeah, at Ole Miss, yeah.
So, the exercise here shows that either you're sitting behind a stud on a team that has championship aspirations, a la Jalen Hurts, or you went out, usually. Right? Like, Spencer Rattler is the only five-star that hasn't gotten in the game so far. And then, Davis Mills at Stanford, whatever the hell they're doing over there, they seem like they're kind of running a different program, playing a different sport the way they handle things.
Yeah, so... I mean, it kind of makes you expect that Harrison Bailey's going to be on the field this year. If he's anything like he's expected to be.
Tweeter writes in, does a fifth star put more pressure on the coaching staff to give him a legitimate shot or keep starting JG? I mean, I think that was kind of the, what we were figuring out with this exercise. I think the five stars makes the casual fan, like I said, it's going to be attached to his name all the time, right? And there's a big portion of our fan base who has seen Garantano play and probably isn't blown away by him, right, to put it nicely. Do you think there are any Tennessee fans who are blown away with the quarterback play we've gotten and like think it's ridiculous that he could be unseated?
No.
I mean, there's some.
I think everybody going into it at least recognizes they might roll with Garantano, but this guy's going to contend for it.
Right, and even if you are a Garantano supporter, it's because, A, you didn't have anything better than him the last couple of years, and B, he's tough and he's your quarterback, you're going to support him. It's not like you think he is a elite-level quarterback.
Yeah, he's the highest-ranked guy that's signed with Tennessee, too.
Bailey?
As Houston just pointed out, our highest quarterback that's ever signed. With Tennessee.
Okay.
I mean, Tennessee has never signed a quarterback.
Sure.
As highly touted.
And the rating, the rankings started after Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Like, I would assume Peyton Manning was a better prospect, but, like, the rankings, they didn't do these back then. So, basically since, let's just call it 2001 or so, I believe that's when the rankings started, Harrison Billy's your highest-rated quarterback. I do think the fifth star is going to be big for the casual fans who don't really follow recruiting and follow this. They're going to hear five-star quarterback, and they're going to expect him to come in and play as a freshman.
So you think it raises the expectations a bit?
With the casual people. Like I said, there's some people like you, Cody, that the people you're talking about, that you're saying people already have these expectations on Harrison Bailey. I guarantee you someone like my mother didn't know anything about this guy. But if she starts reading on her Facebook page, on her Vol for Life Facebook page, wherever,
five star.
And keeps seeing five star, five star, five star, and hear it, that raises the expectation for people like her. And there's a lot of people like her who sort of kind of know a little bit about recruiting but don't really care about it until they start playing. Or they'll hear about some guys, and they know that five is obviously a big deal, and four stars don't really move the needle for them.
Four stars more common.
Right.
You want a team loaded with four stars, but when you hear five star,
you expect better. You expect stud.
You expect your guy that can get to the NFL at that point.
So to answer the question of whether or not it gives more pressure on the coaching staff, I mean, I think people are going to expect him to get a fair shake. Now, whether or not that puts pressure on the coaching staff, like Jeremy Pruitt doesn't really seem like the type that's going to care what the fans think.
No, he's going to do what he thinks gives his team the best shot at winning.
And I will say that he has shown that he will juggle quarterbacks. He says he's going to treat it like every other position. If a quarterback gets beat a couple times, you put him on the bench. Doesn't mean he's benched forever. You put him back in and let him go. Quarterback position, he's shown that all year long, right? I mean, he was putting Maurer in, taking Maurer out. Maurer's winning games, take him out. Or Maurer's giving the team a spark, doesn't get his job back type of thing. JG, even in the bowl game, and gets set for what? Two possessions? One possession? I guess it was just one possession, but set him down. Maurer even went and scored a field goal. Even gave you a scoring drive. Now, granted, you dropped a couple interceptions on that drive, and Maurer didn't look good, but then you went right back to JG.
If I had to guess, I would think that Harrison Bailey will probably be starting by week 5 against Missouri.
That would trouble me if that's the case, because that would probably mean that the first two big games haven't gone well if you're making a quarterback change.
Well, that's kind of what I expect.
That would be troubling. That I don't like that reality.
Well, what I'm thinking is we go out to Oklahoma and JG has decent numbers against a Big 12 defense, albeit they were better last year, but still, I don't think their defense is great. I could see that being one of those games where JG's all right against the Oklahoma defense. Not good, but just average enough. Keep us in the game. We perform well, we lose. And then by Florida, when he has to face that good D-line and an elite SEC defense, he probably struggles really badly, and we get beat up by Florida. I think that might be the path if you start Garantano, and then Bailey becomes your starter for the Missouri game, and you're 2-2.
Could you see this situation play out exactly like Clemson did?
How did theirs go?
Clemson was just playing Lawrence and Bryant, just giving them both reps, and then by game 4, Kelly Bryant said, okay, I'm out. Now, granted that, JG wouldn't be able to do that because he already would have exhausted his eligibility. But Kelly Bryant said, I'm not playing a fifth game. I'm redshirting. I'm out of here. See ya. Because they had given the starting job to Trevor Lawrence.
Well, yeah, I mean, that could be a possibility.
But you played both quarterbacks.
Yeah, the only thing is I don't ever see Garantano quitting.
Yeah.
I think he's in it for the long haul.
Well, it wouldn't be any benefit to him at that point because he will have used his eligibility. Like if he's going to stay here for his senior year, there's no benefit in him packing it in.
Well, I think he's a competitive guy. I think he's going to want to stay on the roster and prove that he can be the guy. And whether you think he can or not, whether you think he sucks, I mean, fine. But I think mentally, that's what he's going to want to do. I don't think he's not going to quit in the middle of the season or something like that.
So far, it has seemed that's not his style.
No,
right? I mean, he had the chance to do that this year.
He's a competitor. And it really just – what this all comes down to is if Harrison Bailey is good enough. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
If he comes out and he's Trevor Lawrence or not even Trevor Lawrence, but if he comes out and he's – I don't know who to compare him to, but I don't know. Let's just say freshman-level Trevor Lawrence before the national championship game.
Sure, where he went to a different level.
Yeah, where he wasn't thought of as the next Peyton Manning, but he was at least really, really good. If he comes out and looks like that, it's going to be – you can't keep him off the field.
People are already thinking that about
Trevor
Lawrence at that point. But
which is the expectation. I mean, that's the thing with getting the fifth star, I guess.
Yeah.
Expectations high, right? But
I mean, I'll be honest – I put it at the feet of my mother, but I'm not that far off. Like, it raises my expectations a little bit. Just the difference between the fourth and fifth star.
Would it help if it was on both 247 and Rivals? Or would we just take one of them and run with it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Sure. Like, if he was a unquestioned five-star, it makes things a little different, sure. But we know how this works among the fan base. We go with the highest rated.
Yeah, but really he's like a borderline five-star.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, just getting that fifth one and being the second-rated quarterback in the class by Rivals, that's a big deal.
It's all going to come down to how good he is, which I know that's simple to say that, but that's what it's going to be. If he's really good, you won't be able to keep him off the field. The guys that are that good – emerge. What do they say? The cream rises to the top.
The cream rises.
If he's as good as Trevor Lawrence in his freshman year or close to that, he's going to be playing. So, and I think surely to God, our coaches will be able to see that. I don't think there will be some loyalty to JG at that point. Pruitt wants to win.
Now, I will say I do have a lot of confidence in our coaching staff when it comes to that.
Yeah, whereas, like a Butch Jones, he had loyalty to his guys.
To a fault. Like,
yeah.
To a fault. Yeah. I will say that if there's one thing I feel confident about this coaching staff, I think they can coach defense. I think they'll always be able to put a good defense on the field from here on out. And I think that they will do – I think that they will put the people that they think can win football out on the field. And that seems really simple, but that's not always the case.
No.
Sometimes you get wrapped up in who's your guy, or sometimes you get wrapped up into who's higher rated and what school they went to in high school and, like, how that is going to affect your pipeline with, you know, oh, I'm not going to be able to go back to Marietta, Georgia if I don't put this guy on the field. Not going to be able to go out there and get those prospects in Georgia.
You can't worry about that. You know, you gotta just play the guys you got to play.
And I will say that Pruitt has at least proven that to me this last year with the way he handled the quarterback position. The fact that he was willing to go out and juggle guys around, even when it looked stupid to do.
And you know, there's already a lot of people talking about Tennessee as that dark horse. Like there's a feeling out there that we might just be a quarterback away from really being the team to compete for the East.
Is that accurate? Because some of the things I've seen are people saying that we're the best case of, like, regression, like team that's going to be overrated, team that, like, got hot late, team that got hot late in the year against bad opponents, but, like, now they're going to come in with inflated
self-worth,
yeah, and then kind of go back to 6 or 8 and 4, 7 and 5 type of team.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah,
who said that?
Some people who, like, do the, I want to say, like, even Bill Conley was saying that, the S&P guy on ESPN, the analytic guy, that said that Tennessee is a prime candidate to be overrated coming into next year.
And that might be true because, you know, we won all those games, but we didn't really beat anybody.
Right, and that's kind of what their point was. And, you know, it was a good performance. They weren't taken away from a performance, but just saying that's not necessarily going to mean that you're set to go out and start beating good teams next year.
Yeah, but, man, I think with that O-line coming back.
Agree. And granted, this was before Trey Smith and Cade Mays. This is before that.
I mean, I don't want to get too excited. Like, I don't think we have a ton of offensive skill players. Now that we're losing Jennings and Callaway, I think we got to find some guys to fill in. You know, like they say, Palmer's good, Gibbs is good, but that's still going to be a bit of a drop-off, a receiver. We got to find some skill players. But I really think that offensive line coming back means a whole lot.
And
more than people realize.
And like we kind of talked about, this math could change with everybody.
Yeah.
This math could change with everybody if you all of a sudden drop in a new quarterback and he can play. Like,
yeah,
the projections are, you know, not taking that possibility into account. That maybe you have a guy, and they don't come around often. When they do come around, they're usually 5 stars, though. That maybe you have a guy that could come in and be a game changer, and he could take your offense and he can put your skill players in a different position, and you could score more points.
And we see that all around college football, but we've never really had it since Peyton Manning. I mean, Dobbs
wasn't one of those guys, though. He wasn't. Dobbs was great by his junior year and his senior year, but, like, freshman Josh Dobbs was not somebody you could drop in.
Oh God,
And win. Like,
not even junior Josh Dobbs. I mean, really, as far as passing goes.
Sure, junior Josh Dobbs, I think, was also not helped by coaching. But, like, freshman Josh Dobbs, I don't think there was any hope for him, even with, like, great coaching.
But if you remember, the passing was never there with Dobbs. Really until his last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we were
his junior year, you lost some games because he couldn't pass. Now, I think a good offensive coach could have fixed those things and had that fixed by junior year.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, freshman Josh Dobbs was not ready. He was raw. He was, you know, fourth string on the depth chart for a while. Yeah. So, like, you know, he wasn't that guy.
No.
And, again, these guys don't come around often. But I will say, Tennessee's offensive line and Tennessee's first big opponent, Oklahoma, provide pretty good opportunities for a young guy to come in and be a game changer. What I mean by that is, obviously, your five-star offensive line can protect you, right? And, you know, the run game with Eric Gray should be pretty damn good next year. And Oklahoma, if there's one thing about them, they're a big name brand, big stage, all that stuff. But what's been their weakness the last decade?
Their defense.
Their defense.
I think we'll blow them off the ball. Now, that doesn't mean we'll win the game.
Sure.
We got to stop their offense and all that.
Sure.
But.
Now, again, I have some confidence in our defense. We'll see how they upgrade people and how these young guys can progress this offseason. But, you know, Oklahoma, I know they've been recruiting better on defense lately, and their defense is improving and blah, blah, blah. It's still not good. Like, you still saw what LSU did to them. I'm not saying Tennessee can do that, but I'm saying Tennessee can lean on the ground game and do a little Tennessee Titans type of offense, right? 4, 5, 6, 7-yard runs, open up some play action, give your guy easy throws.
Just got to hope Spencer Rattler is not Patrick Mahomes.
Just got to hope Spencer Rattler is not Patrick Mahomes. You are correct about that.
Which I don't think he is.
He might be.
Not yet.
He might be. Who knows? Mahomes had to sit a year in the NFL too, and Rattler said a year. Who knows? Maybe they'll be ready to go. Yeah. There are probably some similarities between Alex Smith and Jalen Hurts. There are little similarities between those two. Like solid quarterbacks, if the talent's good around you, you can win. But then, like, hey, this new guy comes in that can make all the throws and they take off. Like, then there is a little bit potential for that. But okay, hour one of the books. Who knew? Hey, I bet you didn't think you were going to talk quarterbacks again today, huh?
I like talking quarterbacks.
We talked quarterbacks again today. Hour one is in the books. Hour two is on deck. It's Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio.